Welcome to the Norwegian Storyteller, a podcast with storytelling perspectives from the North, hosted by Line Constelli, pardon my new English. Working as a storyteller, I have always told other people's stories. Now I tell fragments of my own story. At the same time, I also give you perspectives I have gained from participating in other people's stories. I also encourage you to tell your own story, because I have seen that the world needs this. So what are we waiting for? Let's tell stories together. Follow this podcast for inspiration and talk with me and other storytellers at my Patreon. Dear listener, so far so good. Thank you for being my follower. I really appreciate it. In today's podcast, I will tell you about an incident that made me see the dark side of my country. You see, wherever I travel in the world, people tend to be curious about my country. Often the conceptions about Norway is that we are all rich and we're all doing okay. There's no need to fight in the system, since the system is human-friendly. It must be close to paradise, or what? To a certain point, I agree. The Scandinavian model, Norway, Sweden and Denmark, provides all the citizens with basic human needs. The welfare system gives healthcare and education for everybody. I really love my country for that, and I wish that for other countries in the world as well. I find it unfair that some countries have a huge gap between the rich and the poor. That is also why I have worked in humanitarian organizations for several years. In spite of this, there are some mistakes in our country too, and you also find people struggling and fighting in the system. I'm actually one of them. I grew up knowing I won the lottery when I was born in Norway. In my childhood, I didn't miss anything material. Our grandparents were the last generation that experienced poverty and war in our country. We, the lucky ones, all the generations born out after 1945, grew up in a safe welfare system. We have no reason to complain, we Norwegians. Poor little rich people, what do we know about misery? Well, the welfare system is actually not paradise. It is a safety net. I work in an organization that has projects in Nepal. In this country, you will find more people living in the streets than in Norway. You will also find structural problems based on poverty. Problems such as child marriages, trafficking, and lack of opportunities for young people with higher education. Compared to Norway, we have a safety net that makes sure that less people end up in poverty, and just a few ones live in the streets. Child marriages will be punished and are against the law. And young people have tons of opportunities. Unless you have a disability then. Hidden or visible. Then the opportunities are not as good. I was 29 years old when I found out that my paradise country is not that perfect after all. After years of struggling with my health, I found myself in a job-seeking process. Before that, I have had jobs as a freelancer, since there was no room for full-time jobs in my life. All the years with bad health, both mentally and physically, had given me the right to treatment in the welfare system. I also gave birth to 2 children and studied during these years. I was also provided with social care so I could build myself up as a freelance writer and not just end up in misery. That is the good part of our country, the welfare state that takes care of us. But now I was about to face the bad parts of our country, and that was the discrimination against people like me in the job market. I was in a job-seeking process, and it went really well. I was invited to a second round in the process and was told that we were only 2 people left. One of us would get the job. It was such a relief for me. I still hadn't told them about my past. Luckily, my freelance projects made it possible for me to hide it on the CV. It looked like I had been working all these years, and there were no traces of illness in my CV life story. That is when I decided to be honest and say it as it is. What could possibly go wrong? At my CV, you could see that I had been editor for a magazine in a women's rights organization. At my CV, you can see that I have been an editor for a magazine in a women's rights organization. I had been a freelance journalist in glossy magazines and even the author of a book. I had started a webpage that documented activities for children all over Norway, and I also was a part of two other webpage processes. With this on my CV, I was sure the people in the job-seeking process would see my skills and not my health condition. I was wrong. I told this in the interview with a certainty that it would not matter, but it did. They stopped the interview, and I remember the shame I felt when the entire group stopped talking. It was an awkward silence in the room, and I just wanted to run out and hide for the rest of the day. A couple of days later, I got a call from the responsible for the recruitment process. I still remember his words, since they hit my heart like a sword. "You are a nice person, but unfortunately there is no room for a person with your problems at our workplace." I froze and just answered, "Okay," on the telephone. Then I hung up and the tears streamed down my face. I was 29 years old and never had I been defined by my weaknesses. By that time, I had the luxury of just being me and all my opinions, values, life experiences and interests. When these people only could see my illness and just that, I felt like my entire personality just vanished from earth. Is that all they can see in me? They really disappointed me. This was the first and not the last time I should face discrimination. Today I have some coping strategies every time I face the awful ableism. Because that is the word of what I experience sometimes, and even though I get used to it, it still hurts. Last year I read about ableism in Norway in several articles, and then I learned about a researcher called Gagan Chabra. He came to Norway from India with admiration for the country's welfare system. However, his experience revealed nuances that challenged his initial perception. As a blind individual, he encountered barriers that made him question the advocacy of the welfare safety net. Gagan introduced the concept of ableism to Norwegian audiences. Ableism refers to discriminatory treatment based on visible or invisible disabilities. Despite Norway's top ranking of the UN Human Development Index, Gagan noticed that people with disabilities still face challenges. For instance, 64% of the youth with disabilities did not complete high school, and employment rates remained low. Gagan's research compared disability policies and employment experiences among young adults with visual impairments in Delhi and Oslo. Surprisingly, he found similarities. Both countries had similar equality laws on paper, but practical implementations lacked. Employers often considered gender and cultural diversity, but overlooked disability inclusion. Young job seekers faced low expectations, hindering their entry into the workforce. Gagan's mission is to raise awareness about ableism. He believes that recognizing our biases can lead to positive change. Disability is a part of human diversity, and understanding this can transform attitudes. As he puts it, next time it could be you needing assistance. Let's embrace a mindset that values everyone's potential. At the end of this episode, I want to give you some examples of ableism in everyday life so you can understand what it is. Assumptions and stereotypes. Making assumptions about a person's abilities based on their disability. For instance, assuming that someone with a mobility impairment cannot work or study at a university because of architectural barriers. Unsolicited help. Offering assistance without being asked, assuming that a disabled person needs help. While well-intentioned, this can be disempowering and reinforce stereotypes. Inaccessible spaces. Designing public spaces, buildings or offices without considering accessibility features. Lack of ramps, elevators, etc. communicates exclusion to people with disabilities. Microaggressions. Making comments that unintentionally demean or belittle disabled individuals. For example, saying, "You don't look disabled," as if it's a compliment. Denying employment. Refusing to hire someone solely because of their disability. This denies equal opportunities. Inspiration porn. Treating disabled individuals as inspirational simply for performing everyday tasks. This reduces their experiences to a source of inspiration for non-disabled people. Medical model thinking. Viewing disability primarily as a medical problem to be fixed, rather than recognizing the social and environmental factors that contribute to exclusion. Social exclusion. Ignoring or excluding disabled individuals from social activities, events, or conversations. If you hear this and you feel bad since you actually have done mistakes in your meeting with persons with disabilities, just forgive yourself. We all make mistakes sometimes. I don't think the people that excluded me from the job that time were actually bad people. With knowledge, we can kill ableism once and for all. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Remember to follow me on Instagram. You're also invited to join the wonderful storytelling community we share at my Patreon. You will find the links in the description of this podcast. I'm the Norwegian storyteller. Let's tell stories together.